Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. You know those words. You hear them every week. And he broke it, and he gave it to them. They were having a Passover meal. They had many times been served the Passover. They had many times had someone hand that piece of bread to them. But never before had someone said, "This is my body." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he'd given thanks, he what? He gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you." This was a memorial meal in the Old Testament, but now he says, "This is my blood, which is shed for you." I've often wondered, what did the disciples think the first time they heard it? The church has had 2,000 years to discuss the sacrament and what he means and what he meant and what we take it to mean and what do we say versus another tradition. When the disciples heard for the first time, "This is my body," what did they think? They received it. I want to talk about it a little bit more, but before we do, I want to think about, how did we get here, right? Every year I mention that I love about Holy Week that we do the services on the days appropriate to them. On Sunday, last Sunday, was Palm Sunday. And Pastor Colin had exactly the right illustration. I hope you remember it. He said that Palm Sunday is like a prize fighter entering the ring. As he said, the lights go down, the music comes up, the crowd is cheering, and instead of cheering for, I can't think of a famous wrestler because it's not my thing. Instead of that, any names I would know are long retired. Hosanna. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. On any given day, the city of Jerusalem had a population of 50,000. In those days, that's a big city, 50,000. At the time of the Passover, it swelled to 150,000 people. Can you imagine? Three times the population is in the city. And they are shouting, and they are greeting the Lord. That's Sunday. We are on Thursday. What happened from Sunday to now? The Lord Jesus has been spending every night in Bethany. To say it in American terms, he's been staying in the suburbs. Every night he's in the suburbs, and every morning he walks into Jerusalem and he teaches. Do you know how much he teaches? I looked at it this week. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John combined talk 16 chapters worth on the things that Jesus taught between Monday and Thursday afternoon. 16 chapters. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's Sunday. And Jesus comes into the city and says, "I want to tell you a parable about two brothers." And the father of the boys went out to the boys and said to them, "Go work in my field." And one said, "I'll go." But he didn't. And the other said, "I won't go." But he did. I love that parable. And Jesus asked all the people around him, which one kept the will of the Father? And they said, what? The one that went and worked. Here's the beauty of it. Jesus never answers that. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying that every one of us are tainted by either not doing the stuff or having a bad attitude about it. Worse, we all have the habit of labeling these are the good kids and those are the bad kids. Right? And Jesus never does that because he says they both need grace. One of those days, Jesus walked into the temple and he overturned the tables of the money changers. Pilgrims came to Jerusalem and they had to change their money from the countryside into temple money. And they were getting ripped off. And Jesus was furious. And he turned over those tables and he said, "Stop turning my Father's house into a den of robbers. Stop turning religion into a money-making scheme. It offends the Father." Here's the fun thing to know about it. All the people loved it. They were tired of getting ripped off. They loved it. The leaders, they hated it because they were taking the money into their back pocket. And that's the way the whole week goes. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, during the day, Jesus is teaching, he's gaining followers, the people love what he has to say, he speaks the truth and the word of God, and the people love it, and the leaders hate it. And at one and the same time, the popularity of Jesus grows, and the animosity toward Jesus grows, at one and the same time. This is what I want to call it. It's a phrase you know. I want to call it the hustle and bustle. 150,000 people in a town of 50,000, and everybody's thronging every day, every morning. Where's Jesus? What's he going to say? All the noise, all the clutter, all the running around. What's he going to say? And he says, "Guys, 10 virgins were waiting to receive the bridegroom. And they had oil in their lamps. And 5 of them were wise and brought a lot of oil, and 5 were foolish and brought very little. And the bridegroom delayed and delayed and delayed. And the ones who ran out of oil said to the others, 'Give us some of your oil.' And they said, 'That cannot be done.'" Because Jesus is saying that you are saved by the faith that lives in your heart and not by the faith of your grandmother. Right? You must have oil in your lamp. So the leaders are getting angry about it, and they said, "We have to trap him in his words." We have that in American politics now, the gotcha questions. It's not a real question, it's a gotcha. And so I said, "We got the perfect question for him. Everybody loves Jesus. I got the perfect question. Jesus, should we pay taxes or not?" And they're thinking, there's no good answer to this. Because all the people are saying, "We have to pay taxes to the Roman oppressor. We hate it." So if Jesus says, "Yes, pay your taxes," the people who love him are going to turn on him. But if he says no, the Roman government will say he's a rebel. We got him. We got him this time. Jesus, should we pay our taxes? You guys know this story. What's he say? "Show me a coin whose picture is on it." And they're looking at it like, we cannot get this guy. They're looking at the coin. It's a picture of Caesar. And he says, "Then give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God." Jesus in Jerusalem talks about the end times. He says so much, I'm not going to go into it, except to mention this. If you ever want to read about the end times, the first thing you'll do is go to the Revelation. But before you go there, look at the Gospels. The Lord Jesus talks about the end times. There's a lot of hustle and bustle. And every night he goes out to the suburbs, like living in Valentine. Maybe Chapin. Did he go that far? I don't think so. And every morning he arrives to the city. And somewhere in the background, Judas is saying to the leaders, "How much will you pay me to tell you where he is?" All that, the hustle and the bustle, Let me ask you this. No show of hands, but who here has a life full of hustle and bustle? A lot to do. A to-do list in the morning. Whatever you don't get to this week goes to next week. And emails and texts and calls and meetings and planning and doctor's visits. And we think, Lord, I cannot get to this. We have that. We all have that. And your Lord and your Savior tonight, 100,000 people in town, Jesus has said to a small group of disciples, come aside with me. The Lord Jesus, who loves you and who is about to give up his very life for you, says to them, we need a little quiet time. And I want us to separate ourselves from the noise and the crowd and the enmity and even the praise. And I want to have a supper with you. They celebrate the Passover every year. These men have celebrated it for 25 years, 35 years, 40 years. How old are they? They have celebrated every single year, and every year they say, our God brought us out of slavery in Egypt. And every year, a lamb that represents the Messiah. But now, this is the Messiah. And he says, all those lambs point to this lamb. And so this is my body. He did not say, just for the record, this represents my body. He said, this is my body. He does not say, just this makes you think of my blood. He says, this is my blood. I, for one, do not love the theological arguments about transubstantiation and consubstantiation. They are not in the Bible. But I do love to believe what the Lord Jesus says. That should be sufficient. This is my body. This is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And the heart and the mind wonders, how can it be? How can he do it? And some people say, Jesus is in heaven. He's not at the altar. The answer to all of that is very simple. Very simple. Shockingly simple. Are you ready? Who spoke the words, right? If I were to say that, I would be wrong. But Jesus is not exactly us. He is in our flesh. He is a human fully, but he's also the God-man. And so when he says, this is my body, this is my blood, I say that is sufficient. They did Passover once a year. The church has the sacrament every week. The early church had the sacrament every week. Acts chapter 20, it says, on the first day of the week, we broke bread. Your life, I suspect, is full of plenty of hustle and bustle. And the Lord says, come here. Now you might say, but communion's not that long. And it's not. But I would say, come to the altar. Reflect on his words. And think that when he said, given and shed for you, I want to hear given and shed for me. Right? Given and shed for me. And it's not super long, but pause at this rail. and think about what Christ has done and what he gives. Tonight, yes, and Sunday, and the next, and the next. I want to say something about it. Are you ready? You need it. That's pretty simple, right? You need it. Now, having said you need it, I want to add one more thing. There's lots of hustle and bustle. Jesus had it. We have it. The disciples had it. Everybody's got hustle and bustle. And Jesus says, come apart for a quiet time with me. And what comes after that? Back to the hustle and bustle. I've always loved the Mount of Transfiguration, right? The disciples are busy as all get out. And Jesus takes three of them to a mountain and discloses who he is. And what do they say? Let's stay here forever. And what happens? They have to come down the mountain. Read your Bible and notice this. When they come off the Mount of Transfiguration, do you know the very next text? They run into a boy possessed by a demon. And Jesus heals him. You know what he was saying? Come aside and go back out. And so Jesus will have the supper with the disciples. Then he'll go to the garden and pray. And what's the next text? And Judas, with a gang of thugs, shows up to arrest him. So we will have the supper, and then we will strip the altar and remind ourselves that our Lord Jesus gave us his very body and his blood in this sacrament for us to walk out of here forgiven sinners, and he will have been led away to a sham trial. That's Maundy Thursday. A little quiet for now, and an arrest a little later. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus your Lord. Amen.